We have a few more minutes with James Mann, Bill Russell, I, Paula Gordon, Ronald Reagan, as you speak of the rebellion of Ronald Reagan, the Vulcans, as you speak of those who ran the Bush administration, who were in the heart of it. There are many stories to be told, and we can't tell them all here. People should read the books. Right?
They should definitely read the books. They can buy the books. And I should say they can buy them at the website, www.james-mann.com.
There you go, james-mann.com. These stories are very important. These ideas are very important because of that young man with the political theory, the sovereign people have not held up our end of the bargain, in no small measure because our media, the Fourth Estate, has not held up its end of the bargain. All of this stuff really matters.
For sure. I personally don't speak of the media because there are so many different kinds of media. I worked for a newspaper where sometimes I was writing things different from other people in the paper, and the paper was writing things different from the New York Times. So I was always much more conscious of the differences between them. But you're right. I mean, certainly all there is a kind of way of thinking you have for newspapers. First of all, for daily newspapers, you always think what happened yesterday was really important, and you don't think about the longer perspective, which is what I'm trying to give in books.
Part of the benefit of the stories you tell, of the books you've written, is it gives us a predicate, a base to look forward, to try to adjust and not make at least those same mistakes again.
And then act on those things we learned.
Well, it's part of it. And it seems that two things in this. One is that the media piece is very important. How do we get information if we're going to make decisions, talk about things as is required in a democracy or republic, and we need that information. The other, you talk about the failings in the Democratic Party with respect to foreign policy and really with respect to continuity in government. And in some ways, that's good, because you don't want people who've been around and been around and been around and have gotten, have drunk the Kool-Aid and want to maintain that vision or hallucination, whatever it is.
We've seen what that does to us.
On the other hand, you need experience. And it seems to me both of those are critical as we look forward to, how do we as citizens, where do we go to get the knowledge we need? And secondly, how do we develop the cadre of people necessary to provide the leadership, guidance, insights, perspectives that are absolutely essential if we are to have any success going forward.
Other than simply be the big bully in the neighborhood spending half of the money on the guns.
Well, that's over. I mean, we can't do that anymore.
The information part of it is something I feel passionately about, which is, there are people who say, oh, well, it doesn't matter if newspapers collapse because we can all get our information from the web. Well, I'm all in favor of information from the web. But, if you go to any amalgamation website, you're getting stuff that comes originally from newspapers. And bloggers I was, as a correspondent in Beijing for the Los Angeles Times, I mean, my newspaper then spent an awful lot of money just to house someone in Beijing, as other newspapers do. If that goes, I'm not quite sure where you're going to get information from Beijing. You'll get it, but it's going to come either from people who aren't professional reporters, or who have some other source of funding, and I worry about that too.
Or some other agenda.
Well, and as this policy has moved forward, as we became more and more assertive in the world militarily and in other, economically and militarily, the news organizations were collapsing inward. Foreign bureaus have been shut down all over the world. CNN makes a lot of money providing content to the other networks, which means essentially we have, we're all but blind. As we become more aggressive, we have blinded ourselves to what's actually going on out there.
When I was a correspondent overseas in the 1980s, when you were in Beijing, you knew you were working alongside correspondence for each of the networks, sometimes radio correspondence for the networks. That's all gone. So networks tend to cover Beijing and many other capitals. They'll have, a person in Tokyo and a person in London. And when something happens, then you get on a plane and you land. And you always, those correspondents coming in from outside are always dealing with image. The image has changed. So, I mean, to take China as an example, in the 1980s, people would land in China and say, you know, take me to the disco. And then, you know, two years later, and you'd kind of say, you know, this is still a pretty repressive place. And then after Tiananmen Square in 1989, people would land and they'd say, take me to the repression. Well, you know, it's not quite that simple. So that's what happens with outside correspondents. And now you're not going to even have correspondents flying in from Tokyo.
You know, Tim Weiner wrote what to me is a very important book about the CIA, and his passion is in that context was, you know, the absolute necessity of intelligence,
right?
Of knowing what's going on in the world, looking at specifically at the president and mm-hmm. the executive function of the country, but in a broader sense with respect to, you know, a nominally Republican democratic form of government. That same sort of intelligence has to be generally available, and we are blinding ourselves. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying this, and I'm hoping that you have stashed away in your back pocket a cure for this. And, do you?
Well, there's some parts that are quite simple. The intelligence community that you mentioned was during the Cold War that I write about just so reflexively secretive that they would classify things that had no business being classified. And I sometimes find in my research that you get files that are declassified, and what's being declassified is sometimes the New York Times.
Oh, yeah, right.
or the menu in the Chinese restaurant.
Right, exactly. So that part's easy. How you get more popular awareness, involvement, and ultimately sovereignty in foreign policy, I don't have an easy formula other than to say, you know,
I've got to work at it.
Right, yeah.
And work at it we must with very good information from people like James Mann. Thank you so much, both for the conversation and for the wonderful work that led to this conversation. It's a joy to be with you.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Ignorant and dishonest leaders, accompanied by greedy supporters and hapless followers, have led us into a very dangerous time. The kind of clear-headed appraisal of the journey and its participants, which journalists like James Mann provide, makes it possible for us to survive if we learn the lessons offered. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.